This is
something sort of unusual in the way of hillbilly music.
When I hear that music, well, it just makes me want to move my feet and just get up and go to it.
Something sort of unusual in the way of hillbilly music.
Better than any pot smoking you ever done, or any beer drinking, or liquor. It's just a feeling that you got that nothing can hurt you, and you ain't scared of nothing.
We believe that he can interpret these old mountain ballads and songs and banjo tunes for you better than anybody.
Georgia, please welcome Dave Stone.
I'm gonna kill you.
Simmer down, dude. Hey, what's up? It is the Gravy Boat, Volume 7. It's me, Dave. How you guys doing? Thanks for tuning back in. If you listened to the previous six episodes, or any of the previous six episodes, appreciate you checking back in. Having a good time doing this dumb little alt-country program for you. Broadcasting live inside of my Toyota Sienna, parked in front of a Carl's Jr. Not even in the parking lot. I'm out on the street. And I still get their Wi-Fi. Terrible food, good Wi-Fi, the old Carl's Jr. Staring now at the poster for the two for $5 fish sandwich. Always leery of fast food fish. Anyway, that's not the point of this. Got another theme for you today. Murder. Yeah. Murder, obviously the most severe crime. Thus, the most interesting crime. Thus, great fodder for storytelling and songwriting. Murder ballads. There's a lot of them out there. The last couple hundred years, the murder ballad has been a great form of song. So I got some good ones lined up for you today. We'll do some Johnny Cash, do some Drive-By Truckers, Gillian Welch. First of two from Steve Earle. He's got so many songs about murder, I'm going to double down and give you two in a row. This is Tanny Town from El Corazon. Steve Earle's on the Gravy Boat. Dig it.
That boy, I never did look back. I went down. trees and woods I run like a bullet from a rabbit gun. Back home to my bed. Am I coming from Gettysburg? Her in that new boat of hers. Boy, you look like hell, is all she said. A month went by without a word. Somebody down the holler about that boy to hunt. He bet those men to spare his life. But I dropped my bloody Randall knife. He picked it up so they thought it was the one. Yeah, I went down to Tennessee. I went down to Tennessee. I ain't going back here anymore.
Tom Dula was a wild young buck, veteran of the Civil War. He was going with two or three women at the same time, and one of them, it said, Laura Foster, gave him syphilis, and which he inadvertently passed on to another of the women named Ann Melton, whom he was much closer to, and she... When she found that out, she insisted that they murder Laura Foster in vengeance.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head, crying. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. I met her on the mountain. She be my wife. I met her on the mountain. Stabbed her with my knife. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head, crying. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Good boy, you're bound to die. I drug her to the river. It's got almighty knows. And there beside the water I hid her shoes and clothes. I drug a grateful foot long. I dug it 3 foot deep. I threw the cold clay on her. Tramped it with my feet. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head, crying. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Hang down your head. all your bounds tonight. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head, crying. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. I'm all you bound and die. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head, crying. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, bound, poor boy, you're bound to die.
Yeah, that sounds like a phonograph record to me, that one right there. Yeah, all right.
And we're back. Steve Earle with the Pine Valley Cosmonauts. Tom Dooley. Pine Valley Cosmonauts, a great ensemble. Fronted by John Langford. Punk dude who was in the Meekins. He's also in the Waco Brothers. Tom Dooley, the name of that song. You heard the little clip leading into it. One of the more popular murder ballads of the last 100 or so years. Tom Dooley, real story, by the way. Tom Dooley was a Confederate soldier, and right before he left for the Civil War, he was a bit of a playboy, kind of messing around with a couple of different gals. When the war ended, he was in a prison camp. He got captured. He was a prisoner of war. But when the war ended, they released him. He came back home to Wilkes, North Carolina, kind of in the Appalachian Mountains, not far from Asheville. And I guess he was his main squeeze was Ann Melton, and his side piece was Laurie Foster. And he's hooking up with Laurie Foster. She gave him the clap, gave him the syphilis. He gave it to Ann Melton. Once Ann Melton found out what's going on, she got pissed. Also, I think Laurie Foster got pregnant by Tom Dooley. But anyway, apparently it was Ann Melton's idea to collaborate with the old Tom Dooley, and they go murder Laurie Foster, so... Yeah, now you got a age-old murder ballad. His real name was Tom Doula, D-U-L-A, but they just kind of pronounced it Dooley. Here's a story that's not true, but intriguing nonetheless. Chris Knight with Down the River.
I was 18, my brother was 21. One Saturday evening, when all the work was done, we went down to the river. Had some tried lines to run. My brother Walter had a fight the week before. Knocked a boy named Wilson through the pool hall door. They said you don't mess with Wilson unless you want a war. I put the boat in the water and I made the engine run. I loaded the lantern against a sinking sun, and my brother Walter was loading his gun. And we went down the river. Down past the coal docks, we were running our line. Heard some drunken boaters racing up behind. It was Wilson and his cousin had trouble on their mind. They passed on by us, probably going to tend their pie. Headed up the river with the fish we caught. But before we made the landing, I thought I heard a shot. Back Walter fell over the side. I couldn't find him, no matter how I tried. And I looked along the bank, but I couldn't find where they'd hide. Well, they drug the river, they searched it up and down. Couldn't find his body, so they decided that he'd drown. But I knew better than Wilson bragged around town. So one night I floated down right above Wilson's shack. I hid in the woods till I saw him walk out back. Him in his tracks, and we went down the river. Down below trestle where the water runs slow, I chained him to an anvil and then I let him go. And 5 years later I ain't told a soul. And I ain't done much fishing, I hardly wet a line. The death of my still heavy on my mind. I've been thinking Wilson's cousin better find a place to hide. Cause I'm going down the river. Yeah, I'm going down the river.
Admits he's responsible for the crimes, armed burglary, armed robbery, and 2 counts of first-degree murder. Farrell's lawyers argue that he is emotionally disturbed, a claim backed up by a psychiatrist who claims he has an emotional age of 3. On February 23rd, the jury sentences Rod Farrell to death in Florida's electric chair.
I think your family failed you. I think society failed you. But I also am here to tell you, in the considered judgment of this court, a troubled and disturbed youth cannot serve as an excuse for cold-blooded, premeditated murder.
Thank you.
Gravy Boat, Volume 7. It's me, Dave. Just heard music from the legendary Shack Shakers. Blood on the Bluegrass. It's about the story of Roderick Farrell, some dipshit who murdered his friend's parents. He was 16. He thought he was a vampire. He lived in Murray, Kentucky. Before that, he lived in somewhere in Florida. He befriended a 15-year-old gal. They kept in touch. She hated her parents. He said, hey, I'll come down there and beat them to death because, you know, I'm a vampire. He was on the run for a few days, he and three or four of his vampire crew. And they were stupid, so they got caught. For a while, he was the youngest person in U.S. history on death row in Florida. They abolished the death penalty, and since then, that got reduced to life in prison. But Roderick Farrell, interesting story. Thought he was a vampire, so troubled youth who wanted to kill some folks. Before that, Chris Knight, Down the River. Creepiest line in that song is after he shot the guy in the head when he said, we went down the river. Something very ominous about we when one of you are dead. Anyway, that's the theme today, murder and death. Uplifting program for you. But not all murder and death is bad. I like a good self-defense or revenge murder. such as the case with Gillian Welch and Caleb Meyer. Listen closely, and you're like, hell yeah, lady. You do what you gotta do. It's the Gravy Boat.
Respect your elders, y'all. It's time for a Gravy Boat Classic Country Throwback.
Yeah, new segment we debuted last week on the Gravy Boat. Classic Country Throwback, just paying a little homage to some of the godfathers of country music. Today we'll do Johnny Cash. This song was made famous originally by Lefty Frizzell, but Cash recorded it several times throughout his career. This particular version appeared on the Unearthed box set, kind of the B-sides and rarities box set from all those American recordings he did with Rick Rubin. Long Black Veil. It's on the Gravy Boat.
10 years ago, on a cold, dark night, someone was killed neath the town hall lights. There were few at the scene, but they all agreed that the slayer who ran looked a lot like me. Now she walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wave. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The scaffold was high, and eternity near. She stood in a crowd and shed not a tear. But sometimes at night, when the cold wind moans in a long black veil, she cries o'er my bones. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The judge said, son, what is your alibi? If you were somewhere else, then you won't have to die. I spoke not a word, though it meant my life. I'd been in the arms of my best friend's wife. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me.
Roll it in flour and drop it in the fryer. It's the Gravy Boat with Dave Stone.
What did he say about me?
Everything.
He didn't say I killed nobody, did he? I just done the driving. I didn't kill nobody.
Shut up, you stupid fool. You remember that poker shooting? You remember who got you off? You owe me.
But I didn't kill Turner. You did that. I'm not going to hang for you.
I don't know, John. Looks like the kingdom is beginning to crumble.
It don't make no difference what they say. You still don't have a body.
Welcome back to the Gravy Boat. Many years ago, Holland Hill was kind of a local celebrity in and around Florence, Alabama. He was an award-winning fiddle player in a few local bluegrass bands, an upstanding member of his church, seemingly well-liked by everybody in town. On the flip side, the Lawsons, including their patriarch Cecil Dude Lawson and his son Calvin Lawson, they were just plain old white trash, according to the townsfolk. May 17th, 1982, a decades-long feud between the two families comes to a head when Holland Hill and his two sons, John and Dennis, pull up to Calvin's place in a green Plymouth sedan. They open fired on Calvin, his girlfriend Marianne Moore, and Pops Cecil Dude Lawson, where they were just out planting tomatoes. Calvin and Marianne Moore survived the ambush. Pops did not. Dude Lawson was shot in the back with a .30-06, died a few hours later at the hospital. A couple years later, it goes to trial, and even though Holland Hill basically admitted to the murders, he and his two sons completely acquitted on all charges. This is rural Alabama in the early 80s, when the unofficial law of he needed killing still sometimes applied. Crazy. Coincidentally, Holland Hill just happened to be the great-uncle of none other than Jason Isbell. When Jason was 18 years old, he sat down and wrote a song about that crazy story. He called it Decoration Day. It's on the Gravy Boat.
Decoration Day, and I have a mind to roll a stone on his grave. What would he say? He'd say, keeping me down, boy, won't keep you away. It's Decoration Day, and I knew the hillboys would put him away. My daddy wasn't afraid, said we'd fight till the last Lawson's last living day. Well, I never knew how it all got started. Problem with Holland before we were born, and I don't know the name of the boy we tied down and we beat till he just couldn't walk anymore. But I know the caliber in Daddy's chest. I know a Holland he'll drive. The state let him go, so I guess it was best, 'cause nobody needs all us Lawsons alive. My daddy said one of the boys would come by, the lumberman's favorite son. Said beat him real good, but don't dare let him die. And if you see Holland, he'll run. Well, I said they ain't give us trouble before, we ain't brought down on ourselves. But a chain on my back, my ear to the floor, and I'll send all the hill boys to hell. I'll send all the hill boys to hell.
We'll be right back.
thanks so much.
And you gotta show them the difference between that madman and that pharmacy who blew them two people away and the man who's sitting here right now. You gotta show shock, terror, and re-fucking remorse.
I am. I do. I'm scared, sir.
Oh, yeah, you should be. Right? What'd you say to the pharmacist?
I said, give me everything.
And then what? Boom. Boom. Blew that fucker away, didn't you? You want forgiveness for that?
Yeah.
Say it.
I want it.
You want what?
Forgiveness.
You see what you just did? You just copped to a double murder.
You stupid, son. Welcome back to the Gravy Boat. It's me, Dave, talking about murder today. 1998, Tuscumbia, Alabama, just a few miles southwest of legendary Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Charles Sennett was married to his second wife, Elizabeth Sennett. His first wife, by the way, died years earlier under mysterious circumstances. Charles Sennett was a preacher at the Westside Church of God in nearby Sheffield, Alabama. And while he presented the image of a godly family man, he was fooling around on the side with one of his parishioners, Doris Tidwell. Charles was unhappy in his marriage with Elizabeth, and he borrowed $3,000 from his mistress, Doris. He then took that $3,000, he hired Billy Gray Williams, who rented an apartment from him, to kill Elizabeth. Well, old Billy Gray Williams got cold feet, so he then contracted the hit out to his two buddies, John Parker and Eugene Smith. Billy paid the two guys $1,000 apiece and gave them another $500 to buy a gun. The guys pocketed that $500. They used a hunting knife to kill Mrs. Sennett, only she was still clinging to life a few hours later when Charles got home, and it's speculated that Charles finished her off with a fireplace poker. A week later, when Charles was officially the primary suspect in the murder, he was found dead in his home with a single gunshot to the chest. Police ruled it a suicide, but as Patterson Hood suggests, maybe his son avenged his mother's death. Drive-by truckers wrote two songs about this grisly soap opera, one called Fireplace Poker, and then this one, Go-Go Boots. It's the Gravy Boat.
Singing and a praying, the devil better not come.
the defense has done a great job of creating this sympathetic impression of their client, which is exactly what they're supposed to do. I mean, we're all assuming that Mary Winkler is this wonderful person. However, did she get the gun from the closet? Did she load the gun? What was the last thing that her husband said to her before she shot him? We're glossing over a lot of premeditation here and jumping to the conclusion that Mary Winkler is a very sympathetic character when in fact she could be a cold-blooded killer. She did shoot somebody in the back. She is remorseful for it. But what led up to that? What kind of planning went into it? And we don't know a lot of that, but clearly she got the gun. I want to know whether it was loaded or not when she got it. Did she know how to use it? And what was said before she shot him?
It was as open and shut as anything I had seen. It was a pillar of town. His reputation was clean. It was right before Easter in the first week of spring. Show up for service that Wednesday night. The congregation knew something weren't right. Blood on the bed when they opened the door. The preacher was dead on the bedroom floor. And everyone knew there had to be some outside thing that made this happen. Because
Drive-By Truckers times two. On the Gravy Boat, that's from The Big To-Do. True story. The wig he made her wear. March 22nd, 2006, Selmer, Tennessee. 31-year-old Matthew Winkler was found dead in his home from a 12-gauge shotgun blast to the back. His wife Mary and their three young children were missing. A few days later, Mary and the kids were found safe in Orange Beach, Alabama. She was arrested, brought back to Tennessee. During the trial, she said they were arguing about money and, quote, "I guess that's when my ugly came out." During the trial, Mary claimed Matthew was verbally abusive and often forced her into sexual behavior she wasn't comfortable with. She was convicted of voluntary manslaughter, served less than a year in jail. Wow. Oh, drive-by truckers, they can spin a yarn about some true crime, man. A lot of cool Southern true crime stories in their discography. But that's it, guys. Another episode in the books. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, spread the word. I don't promote this too much online, but if you want to follow me, at Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter, at Gravy Boat Radio on Twitter. I don't promote it too much. I want it to be like a cool word-of-mouth thing. If you enjoyed this, tell a friend. I don't want to overexpose it. I don't want to overpromote it. I don't want a bunch of dorks listening to this. It's for people with good taste in country music, so don't forget The Boogie Monster, my podcast with Kyle Kinane, every Tuesday. We drop brand new episodes. Ghouls, goblins, Bigfoot, UFOs, fried chicken, nonsense. Check that out, The Boogie Monster, every Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening to The Gravy Boat. I'll leave you with The Backsliders, a song called Hey Sheriff. Holla at your boy.
Sheriff, get off of my porch. fair share. Get off of my porch. And you should have brought your deputies with your warrants and your guns. And you should have stayed at home tonight. I'm not going down.
Shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's gonna decorate his saloon with my friend.
You'd be William Money out of Missouri. Killer of women and children.
That's right. I've killed women and children. Killed just about everything that walks or crawled at one time or another. And I'm here to kill you, little Bill.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Okay, thank you.